Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jonathan, you know one thing I saw more of in the 2022 elections, compared to past elections at least, were rainbow flags. There were rainbow flags in campaign rallies, on campaign shirts, all over social media.
Ayan, let's welcome on stage, the Lady Gagita!
Rainbow ang napiling kulay ng LGBT dahil sinasalamin ng bawat kulay ang iba't ibang sexual orientation, gender identity, at expression na bumubuo ng komunidad. Gayunpaman,
not to mention, one presidential candidate even used rainbow colors to paint a picture of togetherness in her campaign. Queer culture was so very much alive online as it is on the ground.
Right. There was a lot of digital content produced online by queer directors, queer filmmakers for the elections. There were campaign materials that, you know, use BuCon as a metaphor or beauty contest as a metaphor or all these things with very queer humor.
So, what is it about this election that campaign rallies felt like a pride march? And Becky's evolved from being the comedy act on the local stage to powerful influencers and engineers of viral digital campaigns.
Oo nga, in this election, makibaka became synonymous to makibeki. Hello, I'm Jonathan Ong, disinformation researcher and professor at the University of Massachusetts Amherst and Harvard University.
And I'm Kat Ventura, Puma Podcast. You're listening to Catch Me If You Can, where we take a deep dive into the world of online trolls
and talk to personalities involved in influence operations on social media. In this episode, we talk about the role of the queer community in the 2022 elections.
So Jonathan, I love that we finally get to talk about queer politics. And by queer politics, we don't just mean queers.
Yes.
But all members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, intersex, asexual, and their allies.
Mm-mm.
We have been getting hints of this in our past episodes with meme content creators and alter accounts. For instance, Mike from episode 4 said he had to get more gay people in his team of attack meme content creators because the memes which they produced resonated more with people online.
Right. And just last episode, we spoke with Twitter alter account Super Negatrona, who used his snarky Becky personality to speak boldly online.
Mm.
I think also in season 1, we had discussed how Becky humor is weaponized for attack posts and snarky humor online. We had discussed examples of Senora Santibanez. Obviously, queer culture is mainstream in Pinoy pop culture. So we can imagine how Becky humor is so important when it comes to attack posts for politics. So I guess for this episode, intention setting, Kat, this is really an episode for us to really go deep and understand the importance of queer culture in Philippine pop culture, but also the place of LGBTs in politics, right? So to what extent are queers and our issues and advocacies deemed legitimate in the Philippine public sphere? When are queer people allowed to express their whole identity as political actors as well in the national stage? We'll be talking to two people whom I admire. And the first is a sociologist writing about queer politics, specifically about the 2022 elections. And then second, we will also be talking to a queer digital organizer and also an on-the-ground activist. And that should make for a very interesting episode, Kat.
Yeah, let's listen to Andoy.
My name is Andoy Evangelista. I'm an assistant professor at the University of the Philippines, Diliman, Sociology Department. But I'm currently on leave to do my PhD at the University of Hong Kong. My work is generally queer politics and nationalism studies.
Andoy wants to understand queer activists and their political engagement. He was working on his doctorate in Hong Kong when the elections came around, and he felt compelled to return to the Philippines.
Actually, in my research, I wasn't really intending to look at the election because my work is nationalism in general. But when the campaign started in February and early this year, I saw all these LGBT participations in the elections and I said to my supervisor, I can't let this go. I need to go home. There was a lot of things that I saw for the first time, at least in my journey as a researcher and as an activist as well. In the past, LGBT organizations would just like list down all their calls and claims and never really endorse a particular candidate. But this time, I was probably not surprised, but I was sort of like taken aback because there were networks of organizations that actually supported both, you know, the front runners like Lenny Robredo and Kiko Pangilinan on the one side. And of course, there's also a network that supported Bongbong Marcos and Sara Duterte from the LGBT sector.
So I myself am gay. Of course, no surprise to listeners at this point, right? It's been a real point of reflection for me. What was it about this year's elections in particular that moved queer political expression from being, you know, sectoral concerns or more targeted advocacy, speaking to niche micro-publics, to the national stage? What were the social forces or political personalities that moved queer politics to the mainstream?
Yeah, I agree with you, John. I did see a lot more queer energy in the 2022 elections. And Andoy has two theories on this.
First, you know, Lenny Robredo is probably the first presidential candidate to have a track record for LGBT rights. And second, I think there was something also about the campaign that made it feel safe for a lot of queer people. We've been trained in progressive activism to suspend other identities and focus on labor or focus on wages, focus on this, suspend everything else for the meantime. But in this campaign, it was like, no, you can bring your entire selves into this. In all your sexual character, you can be in this place. And of course, there were some conservatives in the campaign who didn't like it, but they continued doing it.
But it wasn't just Lenny Robredo. LGBTQ participation was just as evident in the campaign of then-presidential candidate Bongbong Marcos and his running mate Sara Duterte Carpio.
Regardless of where they were in the political spectrum during the last election, they became central because on the other side, there's also another broader network that came about that supported Duterte and extended their support to the BBM Sara camp. I think the network is called LGBT Pilipinas. They had an event that was streamed online. The discourse was that we've been supporting the Duterte family since 2016 and we felt that, you know, as the daughter, she's in the best position to continue the gains of the Duterte administration.
Do you find it shocking or puzzling that there's Beckys who are pro-Marcos and pro-Duterte?
That's a good question. I think you could be pro Duterte, but also queer at the same time. But I get where you're coming from. Kasi we've heard Duterte, we've seen his speeches, we've endured 6 years of it, of all of the misogynistic slurs. They were looking perhaps into at least Duterte's strong-willed grip on politics, the whole strong man getting things done.
Protective daddy. Gays love their daddies. And of course, it's not just Rodrigo Duterte and Bongbong Marcos here. Diba na, there's many points of identification with the whole cast of characters for that political camp. I mean, Imelda Marcos is such a gay icon. Talking to folks, you know, from older generations, idol pa rin nila, si Imelda.
Yeah, madam.
Diba? The pearls, fashion forward. And obviously, one of their most charismatic characters is Aimee Marcos. And she leans into that babaeng bakla persona, the maldita female leader persona. Yeah, she's able to deliver real talk, call it as it is. Aimee had a strategic role in that campaign, right? Where BBM played safe, played the good guy persona. She even produced that Len Len series, dabbled into acting, diba, in those humorous skits. So to me, that was a real campaign innovation. Na parang she acted like this auntie asking her amigas what's going on.
Dati, fresh Len Len. O ngayon, tingnan mo, ma'am.
Ay! Ang Len-Len nyo, pagod na. Anyari?
Her amigas na mga bakla rin. Ako, curious ako din sa term, babaeng bakla. Kailan ba yun ginagamit, Jonathan? Is that something the community often uses?
Babaeng bakla is like fag hag. So for those non-Tagalog listeners, and I know there's quite a lot of foreign listeners to our podcast, so I can hang with the gays. I love my gay friends. So Aimee kind of lays up to that, both in real life and also the entertainment skits that are professionally produced on her YouTube channel.
Right. And it wasn't just Aimee Marcos who actually played into that. It was also Sara Duterte Carpio herself. Not that she was positioning herself or proclaiming herself as a babaeng bakla. She was saying she was part of the LGBT community. I found it very curious, though, that her justification for it, and she did receive backlash from the LGBT community, because her justification for it was that she would cut her hair short. So, like, appearance-wise, like, in the physical sense, she would say she is part of the LGBT community when she feels like it. Yeah, what do you think about that, Jonathan?
Yeah, so, playing into popular understandings and stereotypes of the tomboy, diba? So to be called a tomboy or to be addressed as one, for her, that gives her inroads to claim solidarity with the LGBTQ community. Is that fair? But at the same time, we need to call out people who instrumentalize queerness, who are using it to advance their own personal gain. So it's just like a currency that they're using when it benefits them. But when it's, you know, a hindrance or it's going to present an obstacle or an inconvenience, kebs na lang sa mga bakla. Pero pag gagamitin sila, sige, bakla na ako, parang ganun. So that's the issue here.
And I do understand where these politicians are coming from. They do siguro find the need to adapt to the times because Becky culture has become so mainstream. I mean, I know it always has been, but even more so now.
This is also the phenomenon of pink washing. Corporate brands try to claim solidarity with the gay community, but only seeing gay people as a profitable target market. Right? So as a cash cow, if you will. And so pink washing is the phenomenon where, you know, like when it's Pride season, when it's Pride month, suddenly all of these corporations, all of these mainstream brands who have really done nothing to amplify LGBTQ groups or to donate to causes, to also center LGBTQ voices in their own marketing material, suddenly for Pride Month, for 30 days, they're just gonna do it. So I think we're seeing equivalences here in the political space na sino ba talaga yung totoong ally ng community? Music. But I found it fascinating how, in the case of VP Robredo, here is a candidate who has a track record for upholding LGBTQ advocacies and issues. She's considered as a real ally, but the community needed to get her support in writing. Right? And so I found it like a real powerful act of negotiation.
Yeah, exactly. It's because she's had that track record. And so it was a no-brainer for people like Direk Rod, who has been an active member of the LGBT community here in Metro Manila, to actually fight for Lenny Robredo.
I'm Rod. I'm a filmmaker based dito sa Philippines, sa Metro Manila specifically. I also happen to be part of organizing Pride events here in Metro Manila and also some campaigns, specifically last election.
Direk Rod Singh was a member of the UP Babaylan, a student LGBT organization based in the University of the Philippines. He was once the organization's president and is currently a board member of its alumni organization, Babaylanis Incorporated.
Rod supported the campaign of Vice President Lenny Robredo in the 2022 elections. Rod helped create digital content, engineered viral moments, and also participated in on-ground events.
Kami nila Mela yung nag-found ng LGBTQ for Lenny. So ako ang nag-reach out. Ako ang nag-mobilize nung celebrities ng LGBTQ for Lenny. Like, actually, mas nag-focus ako sa digital influencer sa mga online personalities. Kasi nga online nga yung battleground.
Kasi sabi nila, pag pink, malamot daw. Maingay daw.
Bakala daw. Madam daw.
It's a full endorsement video of LGBTQ personalities. As in, the Pusong Babae campaign. Lahat ng celebrities na pwede kong matap. Nandun, from Minia to John Lapus, lahat ng LGBT celebrities, Richie Chan, different generations. Meme Vice actually asked for the script kasi alam ko naman na si Meme Vice ay for Lenny for the longest time. Pero, you know, alam namin na may tamang timing lahat.
Kilala nyo sa pangalang si Vice Ganda, naniniwala kay Lenny Robredo! Isigaw mo na!
Rod says, in past elections, the queer community focused their energies on voter education campaigns, but did not typically carry a specific candidate. But this time, for 2022, it was different.
In 2016, wala. Our campaign was more of voter education by then, but we didn't actually carry a specific candidate for the presidency. Pero may consensus internally that we should support Lenny Robredo for vice president. Because at that time, it was just so hard to convince people, specifically those within the community organizing, that we should lobby for Mar Rojas. Because we were looking for contributions and promises to the LGBTQ community.
The queer community was looking for a candidate who would champion their agenda. And VP Lenny, as you said, Jonathan, she gave them her word.
At hindi lang to agenda, MMing agenda. We actually, ando kami sa part na pumirma ng kontrata si VP Lenny, a pledge na part ang SOGB ng kanyang priority. We call it the National LGBTQIA Agenda. Hindi lang siya campaign promise. It's a written promise na part ng kanyang priority ang SOG Equality Bill.
When did she sign this?
February pa lang.
Oh, wow. So even before you kind of like release your contributions?
Yes, inuna namin yung agenda. Pero mas madali kasi sa akin yung maghanap ng celebrity to do it for free.
So what I love about that story from Direk Rod is pinapirma si VP Lenny. Diba? So may pagkasigurista si Direk Rod. What do you think that represented that, you know, they ask for a signature?
Mm-mm, right, that commitment. I mean, I can't blame the LGBT community if they want to be sigurista, as you said. I feel like they have been burned a few times before. For years now, there have been attempts to pass the SOGI Equality Bill, and it has been passed, actually, in the House of Representatives. But the bill keeps getting killed in the Senate.
For me, it reveals that Rod is very seasoned, very experienced. Yeah, as you say, Kat, she's been burned in the past. Politics is all about lobbying. It's all about trade-offs and negotiation. What can you do for me? If I'm in the position of power, what can I get back in exchange, right? And so for me, what it represents, though, is the queer community feels itself empowered enough to ask for this in writing. I don't know whether the queer community would have had, you know, the balls to do this with past candidates, especially for presidential candidates. I think mas common to sa House, mas common maybe even at the Senate level, but for them to see themselves as a powerful enough bloc to negotiate with, you know, a presidential candidate, I think it speaks to the growing organizational power of the queer community. And even though, you know, in terms of like voting numbers, I don't think we have anything concrete to say there, but in terms of like controlling the conversation, that's what the queer community brings to the table. Now, we are going to guarantee you viral moments. We are going to guarantee you viral hashtags.
I just wonder though, Jonathan, if it's the same case for all candidates. If the LGBT community who supported Bongbong Marcos also asked him to sign the national LGBTQIA agenda, as they called it. Although, unfortunately, we were not able to get someone from the LGBT community who supported Marcos.
But not without trying, Kat.
We did try to get them. But I would love to hear from them, actually, and have that conversation.
Please. Okay. Yeah, we are happy to talk to folks who are part of the LGBTQ groups supporting Marcos and Duterte.
Mm-hmm. Right. But let's go back to the conversation, because there were some struggles in the campaign. It wasn't easy for Rod as well.
I think for a week or two, we were thinking, anong gagawin natin? Anong gagawin natin? Because obviously, walang makinarya. Hindi kami magiging part ng makinarya na makakatanggap ng pera. But the good thing about the central machinery, they listen. Hindi mo man directly pinaparating sa kanila, nakakarating sa kanila yung opinion ng volunteer. Tinatanggap nila yon. Parang it's very democratic, but also I think a flaw in running a campaign.
So behind the scenes, queers control much of the creative industries. I don't think that's a surprise for folks to know. Advertising.
Entertainment.
Yeah, entertainment, media, they're run by many creative queers. But still, they found it a real struggle to get celebrities to come out and support their candidate.
The struggle was to actually convince celebrities to do it. Because during this time when we were shooting, February pa lang, March, April ko na nilabas yung ibang content. Wala pa masyadong artistang nag-all out. But it was the queer celebrities who committed sa akin. Pero I remember so much yung fear nila of doing it. Because magiging subject nila to attacks eh.
But the biggest criticism the Beckys for Lenny faced, surprisingly not from the opposing camp. Rather, from fellow Robredo supporters.
Masyadong binakla ang kampanya ni VP Lenny kaya natalo. May binakla, maraming masyadong queer figures in the front line. There's a critique from Philip Lustre, that old man. Kinikriticize niya yung presence of trans people in sorties, particularly those who are hosting the sorties. Parang sabi niya, it's okay na mga parang OGDs lang. Pero yung mga transvestite, yun pa ang ginamit niyang term, ay ano na. Lahat ng sorties ni VP Lenny, laging may host na queer. Lahat ng sorties is in different region. Looking at the figure, 15 million. 15 million for that binaklang campaign. 15 million.
What did you think about the idea na binakla daw nila yung campaign?
I don't think that's a surprise, Kat. I think, for me, actually natakot ako when I saw, I mean, I was so thrilled to see posters na bottoms for Lenny, right? Remember those posters? Remember mga altars who were like still hiding their faces pero shirtless sila? So first, I laughed. And then number two, I was suddenly afraid. Na parang, oh my God, what would the church say? Oh my God, what would, you know, other groups say? I think it was expected. I think the queer community got away with so many things here. And I think I would like to celebrate that. But obviously, marami pa rin homophobic and transphobic slurs itong campaign ito. So I think that contradiction needs to be acknowledged, that as you gain more momentum, more political voice, as you demand a space in that table, you will also become targets, bigger targets of attacks from your enemies, but also from jealous allies.
Mm-hmm. And then Doy had the same observations.
Yeah, there's that. And there was this another one that says from a camp, like they said, Trillanes is actually bakla because he's a coward or something like that, right? And I think it's easy to use these stereotypes because it appeals, it's so popular and it communicates. That's the style of populism, right? The style of populism is to use existing value systems, systems of stereotype to actually resonate with the population. And that's what they do. Like, Sandro Marcos looks like Charisse Pimpenko, which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing, even if it's true.
Yung persistent gay insinuation kay Ping Lacson.
Right. That one.
Baka daw si Ping Lacson.
Oh, totoo ba? May ganun.
May ganung insinuation.
At the same time that queer politics was enjoying mainstream national spotlight, homophobic and transphobic remarks were still all over social media. From presidential candidate Ping Lacson being a target of homophobic jokes, calling him Pinky as a slur, really, a resurfacing old rumors that he is gay. Also, his fellow presidential candidate, Isko Moreno, was also shamed as bakla for his negative campaigning against Robredo. Bakla mo naman ang aaway ng babae. So it's used in that kind of slur mode.
The reason why those kinds of narratives became important for the elites, or they realized it was a tool for their campaign, was that because Duterte's campaign was so machismo, it highlighted the gender in politics and it was effective. And therefore they had, you know, they realized probably, oh, it works. So let's use all these, you know, transphobic, homophobic slurs and stereotypes, because it worked for the administration who actually got one of the highest votes in Philippine history. And now we prove that it's more effective because, you know, Bongbong Marcos won.
But one thing that some conservative supporters of BB Lenny found particularly unsettling was the sexual expression of some members of the queer community. The idea of binakla seems to go beyond the Becky speak and slurs. They also refer to the confidence that the community has in expressing their sexuality, which some people found vulgar. But we learned from Prof. Andoy that sexual expression is an integral part of queer politics, and that should not be frowned upon.
Queer politics is a progressive sexual politics of owning yourself, of bringing yourself, your entire self, into the political game. So when I say kalandian, I mean that in the sense that, you know, yung mga malalandin tao are people who are not afraid to bring their entire selves into a particular context. And to me, that's queerness. For example, you know, the queer community, we love that. The bottoms for Lenny, the, you know, the ducks for Lenny or orgies for Lenny. Of course, we cannot deny that some parts of the electorate is still very conservative and they can't even hear the word, you know, dick or something. Like, sometimes there are a group of people of very bare men. You know, there's a group of people that I saw in Ayala Triangle who were offering free hugs, right? That came from the queer culture. That came from pride culture, the idea of free hugs.
Queer politics is meant to be transgressive. It is about disrupting norms. It is about doing away with existing categories and obviously like heteronormative expectations. And so expressing oneself in overtly sexual ways is a disruption of common practice, of common political expression that is supposed to be about civility, about respectability, right? So queer politics is, I demand recognition despite my lack of conventional forms of respectability, that I need to be recognized as a political actor. There's elements of political spaces became queer spaces, you know, that the political rallies became like a pride march. At the same time, you could see how queer spaces were being so political and overtly political. For example, gay dating apps became tools for political positioning and even campaigning.
It becomes the primary platform where we engage politically, but it also has a lot of incentives to highlight the hate and the conflict rather than the discussions. Deliberative discussion is not really profitable online. So this thing, so for example, and then it spilled over again. I mean, when you go to a rally, wherever you go, your Grindr app or your Growler or your Tinder will be filled with all these political messages. Like, there are now users in Grindr who would say, no DDS allowed, no pink allowed.
So what we have here is a phenomenon of gay dating apps, obviously meant for hookups, for one-night stands. They're now becoming repurposed for political expression, such that in your bio and self-presentation, you convey your political identity. So either by signaling, wearing certain colors, or by actually writing it out there. So I find that fascinating that everything became political, even the dating apps.
You did have a question for Andoy about orgies. Were there orgies that banned certain groups who did not have the same political leanings as them?
Well, you know, Kat, that I get really immersed in online subcultures.
Yeah.
And I find that my responsibility as a researcher, you know, for research purposes. And
sure.
Yes, I might have seen a couple of invitations. Obviously, nandito ako, malayo ako sa Pilipinas, right?
So, ano yun nandun sa invitation? Ako, I'm curious. As a sociologist, as a researcher.
Yeah, so yun, no DDS, no Marcos allowed. And then, nandun yung address kung nasaan sila. Nasang hotel sila.
Mm. And I'm sure there was also no pinks allowed.
I'm sure, It's so interesting to me that sexual preferences, yeah, it's gotten to that point where we cannot hook up with the other side. Dito din naman sa US. So, would you date a Trump supporter, but would you hook up with one? It just goes to show in this particular context, yeah, these political divides have seeped into the most intimate spaces and intimate personal choices of hooking up. And different folks will have their different justifications and different rationalizations. You know, like, should we try to get along? You don't have to.
Right, exactly. Like, use the app as you wish. Andoy did have a good explanation for this when we talked a bit about it with him even more. He explained that with these dating apps, the behavior is instantaneous. Like, you would want to match with someone who does have the certain qualifications that you would want or who would carry the conversations that work with you, that you are comfortable with. So if that involves political expression, then by all means, say what your preference is. So I think, Jonathan, what we see here is that queer people are main stakeholders of these elections and they are drivers of these elections as well.
Yes, queer activists and influencers were finally on the mainstream and national campaign trail as lead organizers hosting political rallies. Also, influencers driving their social media followers to take a firm political stand. Na kayong mga Becky, take a stand naman in this election na wag puro thirst trap, diba? So, I thought that was unique. And while Filipino queer political engagement is not new, 2022 was still the first time that a diverse range of LGBTQ groups, political orgs, student groups, and micro-celebrities and influencers occupied prominent leadership roles at the presidential campaign level. So in past elections, queer policy agenda was still sidelined during national campaigns, and queer leaders still had to suppress their own identities. But this time around, we celebrate Becky influencers as real influencers and influence operators who engineered viral moments.
Here's Direk Rod for the final word.
We are main players of the election. Not just the Robredo campaign, ha? Even the Marcos campaign, they tap propagandists na queer. You know, the difference lang though is that yung queer propagandists ni Marcos and ni Duterte, they weren't able to convince or to actually assert the queer agenda in their following. But more of because for the longest time, we weren't part of the election. Hindi kami agenda, hindi kami parte. Siguro kung parte man, nakatago, di ba? Mga nasa likod ng makinarya, ganyan-ganyan. Pero never sa front line. So yung investment ng queer people to be on the front lines of the election is basically validating. Because for once, we felt that our issues are heard. We were part of the democratic process. Mga ganyang bagay.
Now that we wrap up the first three episodes of Season 2, Jonathan, I just wanted to point out how fierce the LGBT community is, because we keep hearing this tagline from this battle cry, na fight fire with fire. And they are the best candidates to do that. They knew the language online. They knew how things were operated. And I feel like if they weren't there to provide that kind of ammunition to certain campaigns, to certain candidates, it would have been an unfair or one-sided elections.
I think queer people, you know, were habituated into being in very marginal roles, and we have to, you know, step up, be excellent, especially excellent and creative and witty, and play at all those levels, you know, of having been targets of bullying ourselves. We need to be resilient and know how to fight back, but fight back in such a way that is also not in the form of overt bullying. May Bali pa rin, may Becky pa rin, it's still humorous. Queer people are so fluent in switching from satire to sexuality to shock, but also to sweet pabebe inspirational messaging, right? So yeah. I think that's what Becky influencers bring. I go back to Direk Rod's sharing of how, yeah, they felt that they had that legitimacy and voice as a group that, hey, VP Robredo, please sign this pledge and we're going to hold you to it. And I think that really represents at the national level that they are a force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Jonathan. And I do hope in the next elections, we don't just see these queers in the campaign rallies, in the campaign sorties, hosting these events, but actually on the stage as candidates themselves, pushing for their own agenda.
Again, I'm Jonathan Ong.
And I'm Kat Ventura, Puma Podcast. This episode was edited by Carl Syatt.
The series was funded by Internews and powered by Puma Podcast.
Follow Catch Me If You Can on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you have suggestions or comments for the show, we'd love to hear them. Maybe you'd also want to be a guest in the show. And share your digital operations experiences and blow the whistle on shady campaigns.
Follow me on Twitter at Jonathan_C_Ong.
Maraming salamat po.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.